Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Today is Thursday, March the 14th. It is the day that the Lord has made, so let us choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I pray that you all are doing well, that you're doing better, and that you know that God is working things out. I want to pick up this morning where I left off yesterday and talk about Christ-likeness. What is God's purpose for God's people? As Christians, we have been converted, we have been saved, and we have received new life in Jesus Christ. But what comes next? The church answer is, our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy God forever, to love God and to love your neighbor. Both answers are good, but not sufficient. What is God's purpose for God's people? Here's the answer. God wants God's people to become like Christ. Christ's likeness is the will of God for the people of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 reads that God has predestined his people to be conformed to the image of his son. That is to become like Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And then 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, verse 2 rather says, beloved, we are God's children now, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 suggests that Christ's likeness is the eternal predestinating purpose of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 shifts the perspective from the past to the present, from God's eternal predestination to God's present transformation of us by the Holy Spirit. One deals with God's eternal purpose to make us like Christ, and the other deals with the historical work by God's Holy Spirit to transform us into the image of Christ. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 deals with the future. We will be like him. We don't know in any detail what we shall be in the last day, but we do know that we will be like Christ. And there's really no need for us to know any more than this. We are content with the glorious truth that we will be with Christ, like Christ, forever, past, present, future. There is God's eternal purpose. We have been predestined. There is God's historical purpose. We are being changed, transformed by the Holy Spirit. And there is God's final or eschatological purpose. We will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All three, the eternal, the historical, and the eschatological, combine towards the same end. God's purpose for our life is to be like Christ. But what does it mean to be like Christ? I can hear Sister Evelyn Moore from my home church singing, I want to be more and more like Jesus every day. I want to see just like him. I want to live just like him. I want to give just like him. What Ms. Moore was declaring was not us becoming a mindless clone. Becoming like Christ does not mean losing your personality. God created your uniqueness, so God doesn't want to destroy it. Christ's likeness, I want you to catch this, is about transforming our character, not our personality. Every time you forget that character is one of God's purposes for your life, you will become frustrated by your circumstances. You'll wonder, why is this happening to me? Why am I having such a difficult time? I want you to understand something this morning. Life is a voyage, and like any good sailor, we need two things. We need a compass and we need a chisel. A compass representing our character guides us through the uncharted waters of existence. The chisel symbolizing our circumstances shapes us as we face inevitable challenges. Forgetting the primacy of character in God's purpose leads to frustration, leaving us bewildered by the storms we encounter. Imagine a sailor setting sail with only a finely honed chisel. They meticulously carve their ship, crafting it into the most beautiful and resilient vessel ever seen. Yet, without a compass, they are adrift. Every gust of wind, every rogue wave sends them careening off course. Frustration sets in. Why is the ocean so relentless? Why can't they find their destination? This sailor represents those who focus solely on their circumstances. They hone their skills. They build their lives. They go to school. They get a job. They get married. They have two dogs, a cat, and a child. But without a guiding moral compass, they become lost in the current, bewildered by the challenges they face. Now picture another sailor with only a compass. Their vessel may be basic, but their unwavering focus on the North Star propels them forward. They navigate storms, adjust their sails, and eventually they reach their harbor. However, their journey is arduous. The basic vessel lacks the resilience to handle the fiercest storms. This sailor embodies those who prioritize character above everything else. They are virtuous, patient, and strong, but without the tools and experiences life throws their way, they may lack the depth and resilience needed to truly flourish. But the true captain understands the interplay of both the compass and the chisel, and they will a seaworthy vessel honed by the challenges they face, yet their unwavering moral compass guides them through every squall. They don't ask why when storms hit all the time, but they expect them. They view difficulties as opportunities to refine their character, to become more courageous, more compassionate, and more resourceful. This perspective, church, aligns with the belief that God, in God's infinite wisdom, has a purpose for our lives. This purpose may not always be one of comfort or ease. Often it's through the crucible of difficulty that our character is truly forged. That when we face challenges with a strong moral compass, we learn patience in the face of setbacks, forgiveness when wronged, and resilience in the face of despair. These are the very qualities that allow us to not only weather the storms, but also emerge stronger and more capable of navigating the uncharted waters ahead. And the Bible is replete with stories that echo this sentiment. Job, a man of unwavering faith, endured unimaginable loss, yet his character remained steadfast. The book of James reminds us that trials produce perseverance, which in turn refines our character and ultimately leads to our mature and complete selves. So the next time frustration arises when faced with a difficult situation, remember the compass. Ask yourself, how can I navigate this challenge with integrity? How can this experience shape me into a better version of myself? Because by prioritizing character development, we transform, here it is, the why into a powerful how. Empowering us to not just survive the storms, but emerge from them with a deeper sense of purpose and a heart brimming with the strength God intends for us to possess. Church, the core of Christ's likeness lies in the transformation of character and not the erasure of our personality. This distinction is where the struggle lies. A character transformation delves into the deep-seated patterns of our being, our selfishness, our pride, tendency towards resentment, and the countless other ways we fall short. It's a humbling and often uncomfortable process that requires honesty and a willingness to face our own shortcomings. This inner transformation can feel at odds with the societal messages that urge us to love ourselves exactly as we are. Now, self-acceptance is important, but God's love calls us to a continuous refining process. And within this struggle lies a profound mystery, the role of suffering in our transformation. Just as the most beautiful works of art are often born through struggle, God uses pain, disappointment, and hardship to shape us into reflections of Christ. It's not that God orchestrates suffering, but he redeems it, working within our pain to chip away at all that hinders us. Romans 8:28. Church, suffering strips away our illusions of control and self-reliance. In the quiet depths of pain, we see our need for God and find the grace to let go of the vices that have tangled themselves in our hearts. And this process is messy. It's painful. But it's not meant to crush who we are, but to liberate us into true Christ-like character. That as we wrestle with suffering, guided by God's Spirit, we become more compassionate because we understand empathy. We become more humble, knowing our own frailty. We become more resilient as we learn to lean on God's strength. The very process of struggling with suffering transforms us into people who radiate the beauty of Jesus in unique and powerful ways. It's a struggle. It's the struggle to become. Think of the caterpillar's journey to becoming a butterfly. Oh, man, it's an exquisite metaphor for the human struggle for transformation. Within the confines of its seemingly limited existence, the caterpillar's world revolves around consuming and growing. However, a restless yearning for something more steers within it, and it instinctively initiates metamorphosis, shedding its familiar form. The caterpillar encases itself in a chrysalis, a place of seeming inactivity. But within this stillness, a radical reorganization happens. Old structures dissolve. Organs reshape, and the foundation of wings begins to form. This process is not without its discomfort. The caterpillar must contend with the confinement, the breakdown of its old self, and the uncertainty of what lies ahead. Yet it is precisely this struggle that makes the triumph of flight possible. When the butterfly finally emerges, it is a creature transformed. Gone is the earthbound caterpillar, replaced by an elegant being capable of soaring into the vastness of the sky. It's a struggle. Its struggle was not about simply surviving, but about becoming something entirely new and beautiful. Church, it's a powerful symbol of our own struggles. The discomfort of growth, the wrestling with change, and the faith that something extraordinary awaits on the other side of transformation. I don't know who this word is for this morning, but your pain and your discomfort and your disappointment is not about surviving, but it's about becoming. The world can feel awfully heavy right now, can it? Like you're trapped in a chrysalis, everything around you dissolving, the familiar comforts gone. People are dying, disappointments stings, frustration simmers, and the question, why me, echoes in the silence. But beloved, let me tell you something this morning. This pain, this struggle that you are experiencing right now isn't about surviving. It's about becoming. The process of becoming is messy, it's uncomfortable, and it's scary. The caterpillar has no idea what it's becoming, only that the familiar must be shed for something new to emerge. That's where you are right now. You're in a chrysalis, the in-between place. The old ways ain't working no more, and the future seems shrouded in uncertainty. But within this discomfort, a magnificent transformation is taking place. The struggles you face are chiseling away at your limitations, forging resilience and strength you never knew you possess. The disappointments are teaching you about letting go and embracing the unknown. The pain is reminding you of your capacity for depth and empathy. This ain't no punishment. Oh, it's preparation. God is the master artist, and he is taking the raw materials of your experiences and shaping you into something extraordinary. You may not see it yet, but trust the process. The struggles you face are the very threads God is weaving into the tapestry of your character. Hold on to this truth. Butterflies ain't born. Butterflies are transformed. They emerge from their chrysalis, not just surviving, but thriving with wings that allow them to soar to breathtaking heights. You too are on the cusp of something remarkable. So don't get discouraged by the messiness of the in-between. Embrace the struggle. For it's the fuel that propels your growth. Lean on your faith. For it's the light that guides you through the darkness. And remember, the pain you feel right now is the birthing pang of a beautiful transformation. You ain't just surviving, but you are becoming. Becoming what? Becoming someone stronger. Becoming someone more compassionate. Becoming more authentic. Becoming someone more beautiful. Yes, this sounds cliche, but it's true. Beauty isn't about your external appearance. Beauty is what shines through a person who has fought their demons, embraced their scars, and chosen to live a life of courage and authenticity. That beauty radiates within. You are becoming something more in tune with God's purpose. So this discomfort and confusion that you are experiencing in this season, it may feel like distance from God, but it's the opposite. God is drawing you closer. God is shaping you into the vessel most suited, yes, Lord, to carry out the unique mission that God has planned for your life. You, beloved, are becoming more like Christ. So keep holding on, for the masterpiece within you is not yet finished. And the world desperately needs the light that only you can shine. So welcome. Welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we got is right now. Thank you so much for tuning in to the call. If this is your first time, my name is Marcus D. Collins, and we are Grace Community Church. And I'm so thrilled that you got up this morning to get this word that was tailor-made just for you. So keep fighting, keep growing, and know that you're becoming a version of yourself more brave, more compassionate, and more radiant than you ever dared to dream. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah wherever you are. Come on, let's pray together this morning. Father, we come to you in the midst of struggle, with hearts heavy and spirits burdened. The journey of becoming feels long and tedious. We wrestle with doubt and disappointment and the ache of unfulfilled dreams. Yet even in the darkest moments, we cling to your promise that you are working all things for the good. Grant us the strength to endure this season of transformation. Help us to see beyond the discomfort of this season to the beautiful purpose you are shaping within us. Father, may our pain become a wellspring of empathy and resilience. May our struggles refine our character and deepen our understanding of your love. Give us the courage to trust your hand, knowing that you are painting a masterpiece with the colors of our lives. Fill us with hope for the future and the deep conviction that this process leads to a greater, more beautiful becoming. We surrender ourselves into your capable hands. Guide our steps, mold our hearts, and reveal the extraordinary person you are creating within each of us. Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory and honor. It's in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah and amen. Beloved, it's not simply about surviving. It's about becoming. Embrace that today. As always, the replay will be uploaded to our website this morning at gracechurchal.com. Click on that 40-day fasting flyer on the home screen, and it will take you to the place you need to be. Hey, listen, I am praying for you today. I am rooting for you. So be mindful, be watchful, and be encouraged. Peace.